Ready to roll, and whenever you're ready, sure. Praise God. Well, the best thing I'd like to share right off the bat, and you guys know, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we could become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I look out at the people that we have here and believe that all of us have done that, but I know we do get people that watch online. And so all it takes is to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do that just by believing on what he did. We know that Jesus was a real figure, that he lived, died, that he was buried, he was crucified on a cross, buried, and then he rose from the dead after 3 days, exactly like not only he said he would, but the Bible lists out several hundred prophecies that said that this was going to happen exactly the way that it did. Certain things about the city and the virgin birth and his bones not being broken, his blood being shed, all those things were prophesied. Hundreds of different things that could not have lined up any other way. I forget the exact stat, but I think it's 1 times 10 to the 10th power. Okay, you guys figure out what kind of number that is. That is the odds of even 10 of those prophecies coming to pass the way that it did. And so it's this exponential number, the possibility of it ever happening. So if for no other reason we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is an infallible proof that he was the Savior and he came to do what he did. But aside from that, we believe because he is our joy, he is our peace, he is the one that gave his life for us, that died on a cross, gave us everything that we have. He came and fulfilled all that, so that we can now have a new life in Christ. And that's what we have through Jesus. If you haven't done that yet, make that your number one goal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So with that, we're going to get into something different tonight. It's actually could be considered part two from last week, although we're not going to do the worship, because we're going to talk about, I don't have slides tonight, but we're going to talk about the healthy body, soul, and spirit. Okay, now last week we worshiped in
Psalm.
Amen. We worshiped in Psalm. We worshiped in the Spirit. Okay, and it was, worship is a very spiritual part of our life. It's very, they that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth. And we know that God is a spirit. You guys with me? Okay, and so last week we dealt a little bit with the spiritual part of our being. And this week we're going to look a little bit more at some of the other areas. Okay, there's a body and a soul, and I'll explain that here in a minute. But first, let's start with some prayer. So, Father, we lift up, Father, our lives to you. Father, you've already done what needed to be done. We just believe on you. We trust in you. We've yielded to you. And, Father, tonight we pray that you'll use your word and scripture and just sound wisdom, Father, to instruct us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us go even further in life than we were when we came in the door. Father, that we just live out our life as a Christian believer, that we receive the promises, we receive your blessings and the goodness you want to give, and we live out this life healthy and sound in every area of our life. Lord, we praise you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I titled it, The Healthy Body, Soul, and Spirit. Okay, The Healthy Body, Soul, and Spirit. Okay, let's start with the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5:23, one scripture. This is where the Apostle Paul is praying for the sanctification of his brethren. That means the setting apart, or to really being separate or different. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and then he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," wholly, wholly, "and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, your whole spirit, soul, and body. It's a direct reference to the three parts of our human being, okay, as we are made up. Just like God is triune. Okay, you might have heard that term before, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, we are a triune being as well, made up of a spirit, soul, and a body. Okay, and it's just like if you want to go even deeper than that, we've talked about in the past, the temple of God was made up of three parts, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Okay, and we also are being now the temple of God. We are made that way by Him. And so we also have those three parts, a body, soul, and spirit. Okay, or spirit, soul, and body, however you want to word it. Your spirit, just to distinguish those three just briefly so we can get to the third part. Your spirit is the part where God lives. Okay, your spirit's what got born again. Your spirit's what will live in eternity in heaven. Okay, your spirit is intimately connected with God. That's how we relate to Him in a lot of ways. That is your spirit. That is what is on its way to heaven. Your soul is your mind and your emotions. Okay, your soul, okay, oftentimes I call it another three, the mind, will, and emotions, okay, being your soulish realm. Okay, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's where much of our Christian life is spent addressing, is our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. That's what that some of that struggle that we have, the spirit against the flesh. Okay, some of that, or a lot of that, takes place in our mind, will, and emotions. Renewing our mind with the Word of God is what we're instructed to do. Lining up our will with the will of God. Remember, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He's saying, "I want my will to line up with yours." Okay, and it is your soul being that place that deals with emotions and some of that stuff. Your soul is where you feel joy, okay, or fear, sadness, excitement. It's where your intellect comes from and even your motivation. Okay, and so when you talk about your willpower, okay, it's your willpower is stemming from that. We gain ours as a believer from the Spirit of God as well, but it is partly your will. Okay, your body, okay, is the third part of that, your spirit, soul, and not your body. Your body is the part where the other two live. Okay, it's where they're habitating during their time on earth. Okay, it's what feels physical pain. Okay, hit your thumb with a hammer. You're going to feel it in your body, right? Okay, it's going to send, you know, your mind and all that stuff is connected to it, but you're definitely going to feel it in your body. Okay? The three, the body, soul, and spirit, are intricately connected. Okay? So that you will feel it in one, or if one of them is subdued, one of them is hurting, one of them is lacking, one of them is wounded, one of them is whatever, the other two are also going to be affected in some way. Okay, in most, you could say that they're not going to be able to function at their highest capacity. Okay, and I'll give you an example. Okay, anybody ever been sick? Okay, on occasions that happens, even to a body, even someone is part of the body of Christ, on occasion we'll get sick. You get the flu, you get a headache, you get, you know, a smashed finger, you get whatever. And the first thing that does is your world goes from this big to about this big because it's awful hard to look past that. What does this is your soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions. It takes that focus, okay, and causes the other ones not to function at their highest capacity. So if your body is sick, your body's in pain, your soul is what is going to put extra focus, extra concern on the body, and in turn, it may make decisions that will not feed your spirit or not nurture your spirit. Okay, instead, your soul is going to focus on helping your body to somehow alleviate that pain or to get to feel better. Or, you know, that's where, you know, you lay in bed thinking, oh, I should have stopped and got that cough medicine. I should have got that cold medicine. I should have took ibuprofen. I should get up and drink a glass of water. I should. And you got all these things. That's your soul that's just rolling away going, how can I solve this problem with my body? Because my body is suffering right now. And so the focus has gone from anything spiritual to kind of just natural, let's get things done and figure some things out. Okay, the Bible says that your flesh and your spirit are contrary one to another. Okay, they're at odds against each other. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says that. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, that's the things that you would normally be hearing and listening and following the Spirit and the unction of the Holy Spirit, and now all of a sudden your flesh is crying out for something else. You end up not doing the things that you could or should or would be doing. Okay, that's that battle between your flesh and the Spirit. So when your flesh or your body is demanding attention, and your soul gets wrapped up in it, sort of preoccupied with fixing it, then your flesh and your spirit are really at odds at that moment. Okay, they're not. You're not listening and hearing in the spirit because your soul is preoccupied with other things. You know, that's where I'm hoping that a message like this can really help the Christian believer. Okay, we're going to talk about the body. Okay, we're going to talk about that third one, the flesh, a little bit. Mostly physical body stuff. I want to help you. One of the most valuable things that I have taken away from, I was trying to count it up, I think it's over 2 decades now of being mentored by my pastor, okay, and his wife. And one of the most valuable things I've taken from that, yes, their spiritual hunger, yes, their wisdom, those kind of things, but one of the most valuable things that we've taken away, or I've taken away, and my wife and family now as well, is the healthy living lifestyle, healthy eating, some of the things that they taught us about those kinds of things. I would still be, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but I would still be in, I'd be in a lot of trouble, and I'd probably look a lot older than I do after 20 years of eating that wrong stuff for that many years. Maybe somehow I would have came to know it a different way, but for the most part, I got to watch through their, you know, health advice and the example that he and his wife taught me. I was able to share that. Margie got right on board with it, and we've tried to raise our kids up in that way. Slipped here and there a little bit, but it's pretty tough in Rollins, Wyoming, to live the way we did at one other point in life. But you can always order stuff, and I'm going to explain some of this. You can look it up. Third John 1, verse 2. John, again, prays something, and he's speaking it. And it's something that I envision that my pastor at times had said this very thing to me. But 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Okay, and so it's talking about health, but a whole kind of health. Okay, and he's wanting you to be able to prosper and to live. You ever hear of live long and prosper? Okay, and I prayed that many times for people that I know are going through things that, you know what, this is not going to kill you, but you will live long and prosper. Okay, we've been praying for that young man named Christopher, I think, that his young baby that was born way too early, and he's just progressing through. But that was the first thing I said, I think, when I typed something in a comment, was, "Christopher, you will live long and prosper and declare the works of the Lord. You will have a testimony someday about what you lived through and went through and how he got to where he is. I can't wait to hear it." Well, you invite him to the church. You let him know that when he gets so he can understand English. He's only about this big yet, but yeah, let him know. He could be a speaker at my church. I will let him. Okay, so we want to address our physical body. Okay, we're going to, before I go too far, nobody get condemned, okay, over any of this stuff. Because if we're not there, it's okay. Somebody had to tell me, so I'm just telling you. Okay, how many people, let me just ask this, how many people have been to a health seminar in their life? Okay, something where you've gone and learned some pretty healthy stuff, so few people. How many people have been to a health seminar in the last year? All the more reason for a guy like me to teach something on health once in a while, because we don't get that a lot. Okay, it's something that maybe we're not going to get. So You can look up stuff online. You can look up a lot of what I'm doing today. But I also want to be able to be a part of helping you be sound in body, soul, and spirit. Okay. We want to address the physical body as a critical part of the rest of our Christian makeup, because although I believe that God can and does heal sickness, he heals diseases, he heals cancers, he heals broken bones or whatever it may be, I also believe that God would rather not have to. Everybody catch that?
No.
I saw the look. We want to address our body and take care of our body. Because although I believe God can and does heal sickness, disease, cancer, broken bones, or whatever, I also believe that he would rather not have to. Okay, now think about that. He would rather not have to. God provided through Jesus Christ for divine health. And he wants us to walk in divine health. I believe he gets glory when someone calls upon his name and is healed of cancer. Or like when Christopher gets old and God is going to use his testimony and he can testify, God is going to get glory through that. But I also believe that God gets a whole lot of glory when someone lives their entire life without ever getting cancer, without ever breaking a bone, without ever getting in a car accident and having to survive through it, or without ever, you know, going through some of those kind of things. There are people that can live the majority of their life without having to go through that junk because of what Jesus provided for them. God gets glory when somebody calls upon his name and is healed of cancer, but he also gets glory when somebody lives their entire life without ever contracting it. That's my goal. I've got it. My family, if you look at my family line, I'm next in line. But I'm not getting it. I'm believing and trusting and thanking God that those kind of sicknesses will not come into my house. Certain parts of your body, I believe, are, and this isn't my belief, this is science, okay, biology, whatever it is. Certain parts of your body are what I call autonomous. Okay, that means they work without you thinking about it. Okay, things like your heart beating, you guys know this, your breathing, blinking, okay, even digesting of your foods. Okay, that's something we don't think about. Oh, I'm going to eat this banana and it's going to digest and whatever. Our liver, you know, things that cleanse the toxins out of your body. Other parts of your body, though, need you to purposefully tell them what to do. Okay, they need you to tell them, in order to accomplish something, they need you to tell them what to do exactly, when, and how to do it. Your mind is what tells your legs to move. Your mind is what got you here today. Okay, you walked in the door. Your eyes, although they see without you thinking about it, it is your thoughts that make your eyes look one way or another. I can look at Bill, or I can look at, you know, Aaron, sorry. You can look at whoever, and that is me making a conscious decision to do that. Okay, you get to decide along that line what you will eat, okay, and what you will not eat. You get to decide when you will go to bed most of the time. And even for the most part, what it is that you allow to cause anxiety and stress in your life, you have something to say about that. You decide whether to go to church or whether to stay home, isolate. You decide whether you will listen to depressing news and music. I won't name any genre there, but I'm thinking of one. You also get to decide whether you will read the good news and listen to praise and worship music and encouraging music and uplifting. So today, I guess when we're talking about decisions we make that our body, we have to make it do certain things. What I want to do is lay out in front of you some good options, some good choices. Okay, may or may not be making them. Some of us are, some of us aren't. A few, maybe none, maybe a lot. Okay, but to lay out some more good options in front of you so that you at least have that as an option, something that you see as an option. I wanted to talk about a whole lot more. I just don't have time. I wanted to talk about food and nourishment, healthy eating. I wanted to talk about rest. Okay, there's a whole Bible series on rest. Okay, I wanted to talk about that. And I also wanted to talk about ways to reduce stress in your life. Okay, ways to, you know, choose what's going to stress you, what's not, and then deal with it, figure out how we can deal with that. But tonight, we're only going to get to that first part. So we might get two or three parts out of this, we'll see. Okay, so let's start with nourishment for our bodies. Okay, what does our body need to be at its best? Okay, if you're trying to figure out what the benefits of healthy eating, why would I want to eat better than I do right now? Okay, the easiest way to remind yourself of why you should eat healthy, and as healthy as you can, is because garbage in, garbage out. Okay, and what I mean by that is if you do not feel good, you may not be feeding your body what it needs to feel good. Okay, so if there's something I could eat different, I would want to do that. Okay, oftentimes it is what we're putting into our body that might make us feel crummy. Okay, I'm going to pick on just one big place today, not too much, but the big golden arches over there. Okay, I'm not a fan. I've eaten it, not real recently, but I have eaten it. Oftentimes it is what we're putting into our body that makes us feel crummy. If I go eat McDonald's, I am going to feel crummy. I know that. That's why I don't like to eat there. But it also may be not just what we're putting into our body, but it could very well be what we are not putting into our body. What are we lacking in our diet? What am I missing? Okay, you know what? Thought of an example for this. I use a weed eater. Okay, they call them trimmers, you know, big thing, cutting the grass kind of thing. I'd mow trails, miles and miles of trails every summer. Okay, and as I'm doing that, a weed eater, 99% of them probably, if they're gas, are what they call a two-stroke engine, which means you have to mix oil with the gas, mix it up in your little container before you put it into your machine. Now, I can put just straight gas into that thing, and I can pull it and start it, and it will run, and it'll sound good, and it might even function for a while, but inevitably, eventually, it is going to burn that motor up because you're supposed to mix oil with that gas for a reason. Somebody told me, I think it was Bill, about somebody that forgot to shake the can before they dumped it in, and they were just dumping in, and they were getting mostly that clean gas off the top kind of thing, and it ended up burning up a chainsaw or trimmer or something. Okay, you have to add that oil in order for it to last long and to function the way that it's supposed to. Okay, a two-stroke engine requires an oil additive to make it work and perform right. Your body is like that. There are certain things that you need in your body in order for it to work at its capacity. Now, I'm a supplement guy. I've taken supplements for years. Okay, somebody got me onto it was super blue green algae. Okay, it was this company way back in early 90s or something, yeah, that you could take and whatever, and I got going on it, but it turned me on to the green foods, okay, and it was kind of had all these super antioxidants. It was, I mean, we were taking it, my friend got me on it, and I became a salesperson for it and all that stuff, okay, but in the process, it was of such that we believed that if we were taking that stuff, we were immune to colds and flus and all that stuff. And for the most part, it was pretty true. And if we ever did catch something, we just doubled up our dose and then it would, you know, it would go away in a short amount of time. Okay, well, my current list, just to give you an idea, my current list includes a green drink. Okay, every morning it has got over 50 organic fruits and vegetables in it, ground up into a green powder. I call it my green drink. Okay, that green drink I mix with a little bit of juice every morning, and I take it every day. And I have taken not just the stuff that I take right now, but I have taken some variation of that green drink all the way back to the 90s, whatever. So over 25 years, I've been taking a green drink every single day. And I bet I could count the days that I've missed on my fingers and toes in those 25 years. It is just something I've always done, always taken, different varieties of it, whatever it is. The one I take right now, I think it's called More Than a Greens or something like that. I get it at Wally World for $15, about as cheap as I've ever found. They haven't raised the price. It's been that way for several years since we've been here. So either Walmart or City Market, and I take that green drink. Okay, that's well worth that $15 a month it takes. I also take some other vitamins. I take like a vitamin B. Okay, for a while I was taking what they called the vitamin B stress formula. Okay, when I was working at UPS, it was extremely stressful. I was lacking sleep and all the other stuff. And so I took that as something to help with the effects of stress and started taking it back before that, but have been on it for a long time. Vitamin E, magnesium, okay, those are for cell and muscular regeneration. Okay, so as you get older, some of you guys aren't there yet, but as you get there, you start realizing that you do some manual labor, you're gonna feel it, okay, a little bit sooner, a little bit longer, and it lasts, you know, longer, whatever. But if you're taking the right kind of things, it helps your body to rejuvenate. I take Q-Nol, okay, some of you have heard of a thing called CoQ10, okay, it's good for your heart, okay, and Q-Nol is something that is good, it's for your blood pressure and helps to regulate your blood pressure and those kind of things. Cognium. I've been on Cognium for a long time, or a different variation of it. It's something that has fish oils. Omega-3 fatty acids, I think, is the main ingredient. Something to help with your memory, brain, keeping your brain sharp, those kind of things. Glucosamine is probably the longest thing I've ever taken. Okay, glucosamine, chondroitin, and MSM, which helps with your bones and joints. And that came from a chiropractor I think my mom sent me to when I was 15 years old. I was a football player, and my favorite way to tackle was head first, helmet first, spear right on, stuff you can't do in the NFL anymore. And so it would always compress my back. And every year, before the season, then after the season, mom would take me to a chiropractor. And I think somewhere along the line, one of the guys said, you should be taking, you know, glucosamine for your joints. Okay, and so I started taking some stuff way back then, and have been taking it daily ever since. What else? Of course, I take a good multivitamin every day, a daily multivitamin. Just, there's different ones out there. I've done a little bit of research, but usually it's try to find one that will dissolve into your body and give you the things, hopefully, most of the essential vitamins and minerals, things you might not get through your foods. Now, I'm not saying that you have to take all that stuff. I'm just throwing that out there that I would at least recommend you take at least a daily multivitamin, because some of the foods you're eating, just you're not getting some of the things that you should be getting in your body. So take something along that line. Okay, and if you want to go the green food, that's a pretty good, I can feel the green food if that tells you anything. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. So a little bit of a description of a healthy diet. Okay, a diet includes a bunch of fruits and vegetables, obviously. They say the more colors you can get, the better. Okay, greens are good for one thing, reds are good for another. Different colors of foods actually work on different parts of your body. Okay, so whole grains, good fats, lean proteins, eating healthy. That means avoiding foods which have high amounts of added salt and sugar. Okay, added salt and sugar. Okay, now I was in, when I was a director of senior services, we had big meetings and with the state and whatever, and one of my, I remember a doctor came to the meeting, there was low sodium for seniors, low sodium for seniors, that was a big thing. Seniors didn't like low sodium, they liked lots of salt. So what the doctor said is that you could take, you know, serve them chicken, low sodium chicken breast, and that they could literally take the whole salt shaker and put it on there, and the salt that they put on after it was cooked was not going to affect them. It's just a little bit of salt would get into their system. But if that chicken breast was cooked in a sodium nitrate, benzoate, whatever it is, kind of stuff, and it had all that salt cooked into it, that was far more than a whole salt shaker. Okay? And so he said, you know, don't recommend anybody uses a whole salt shaker, but put a salt shaker on the table, tell them if they don't like the low sodium stuff, they can put on as much salt on the table because it's not going to affect their body that way. Potato chips, you guys know the foods I'm talking about. Or you eat something that was cooked in it, sunflower seeds and some of those things, they have a lot of salt, or in when it's cooked in, it's called sodium, right? Okay, if you see something that has like chips with salt, okay, that means it was probably added kind of after the fact, not necessarily cooked in it, for the most part. The other one, sugar, you guys know about high sugar, but they call it glucose, they call it sucralose, they call it a lot of different things when it's into the food. Okay, so I want to give you a few things about a healthy diet, a few foods, some of those kind of things. I looked at a website that had a lot of the evidence behind it. Amen. First benefit of a healthy diet includes weight loss, okay, for most of us. Okay, some might not have a lot of weight, so you might not have a lot to lose, but a healthy diet is going to include weight loss. Losing weight can help reduce the risk of future problems. That's why I'm saying body, soul, and spirit, let's get our body in line. Okay, so it reduces the risk of future health problems. Chronic and ongoing health conditions can often be attributed to long-term bad eating habits. I knew a gal that drank Diet Cokes, probably a six-pack of Diet Coke a day, for 40 years. Before it finally caught up to her. And when it did, they took a tumor cyst kind of thing out of her stomach that was the size of a grapefruit. And that was the beginning of all the health problems. She's since been through cancer treatments a couple different times, a couple different kinds, other things going on in her body. Still going, because the first thing the doctor said when they saw that was, you gotta quit drinking diet soda, because it's got stuff in it. Okay, bad stuff in it. You don't wanna drink diet soda on a regular basis. Okay, now I'm not saying, now, as I go through this, there are some things, you might go out in the restaurant and maybe feel like you need to order a Diet Coke with your pizza, okay, or whatever, but if you do it once in a while, not as big of a deal, but when you do it like that, it is going to take its toll and do what it can do to your body, okay? If a person is overweight, obese, they have a higher risk of developing several other conditions, things like heart disease, diabetes, poor bone density, knee, hip, foot. Most processed foods that you buy, things that are ready to eat, things that are microwavable. One of the kids just asked the other day for a Lunchable. Those got to be the worst things on the planet. Okay, those kind of things have higher calories, obviously, than whole vegetables and fruits. Eating a diet that is free from those kind of processed foods has been shown to help a person stay within the daily limit of calories without having to count calories. Just by not eating processed foods, it helps people to stay within a nice limit for their body. Now, has anybody ever heard of the Daniel diet or the Daniel fast? Any idea what it includes or doesn't include? It's veggies. Okay, it's pretty much a veggie diet. Okay, it's got a lot of fame in Christendom. I thought we'd read through it. It's in Daniel chapter 1. Just for time's sake, not go through the whole story, but you know they were taken captive and they were supposed to be fed a certain kind of meal and wine and all this stuff that the king wanted to for them, and they had a different plan here. So Daniel 1:11 verse through 16. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. He said, let us do this for 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat. King James' word is pulse. Most Bibles might say vegetables. Okay, that's really what it was referring to. He said, let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Verse 13, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. As thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and he proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. Okay, they said, let us eat vegetables for 10 days and drink water instead of this big old feast of fatty stuff that the king was wanting to make everybody eat. And he said, and then come check on us after 10 days and see if we look better or worse than the people that are eating that. The guy comes back and says, you guys, and he called them, what did I say, fatter and something. And he didn't mean that they got fat on it. What he meant is they look great. Okay, they look very nice. Fairer and fatter in the flesh. That's what he said. Now, I personally am a meat eater. Okay, I grew up farming and ranching. You always ate meat and potatoes almost every single meal. Okay, that was just a staple in our diet. But I know that if you were to only eat fruits, vegetables, and drink water, that you would look and feel pretty healthy. I know some people that that's their diet and they look pretty good. But you'd also be pretty trim too, because you're missing out on, you're not going to be eating the fatty foods and the breads and the stuff. Okay, but just to put a plug in there for meat eaters, Abraham fed meat to the angels of the Lord that came and visited him. Okay, and the Bible actually said, it's in Genesis 18 if you want to read it, but he said, and he took them to the angels of the Lord, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Okay, so I figure if milk and butter and meat is acceptable for the angels of the Lord to eat, it's probably okay for me to eat as well. Okay, so it's not trying to say either way, just saying that I'm not going to feel any guilt or shame if I eat a steak or burger or something. Okay, so that's a long one. That was number one, but I'll get through these real quick. Okay, the rest of them will go a lot faster, I promise. That's number one. Number two is eat healthy for reduced risk of cancer. Okay, you know, cancer is a big thing in our society. Lots and lots of it that has gone around, been around, still going around. A healthy diet has been proven to be linked to less cancer. There are certain studies that are coming out saying guys that eat better live better. One reason is that people who eat healthy, I'm going to twist this a little bit, people that eat healthy tend to live within a healthy weight range, which allows for not only better and more physical activity, but it also leads to a better mental attitude towards life, which is also shown to improve your overall health. Okay? If you're thinking bad about yourself because you don't like who you are and you feel like, oh, I feel like junk, I should have never done that, shouldn't have eaten that, shouldn't have whatever, it has an effect. It plays a part in your overall health. Things like bitterness, anger, resentment, negativity, they're very hard on your body. You'll meet people that are just constantly negative, nothing good to say about anything, and they will look at least 10 years older than they really are. Okay, it's hard on a person. I know Bible scholars that have literally said that bitterness, the spirit of bitterness that gets on people if they don't get rid of that, bitterness and unforgiveness, that it can lead to other things, cancer, arthritis, or those kind of things, especially arthritis, because bitterness is crippling. Okay, that's number two. Number three, eating right can help with prevention and management of diabetes. Okay, if anybody knows about that, eating a healthy diet can help you lose weight if you need to, manage glucose levels, keeps your blood pressure and cholesterol within target ranges, and prevent or delay complications of diabetes. Okay, now there's a lot of stuff, and I don't have time to go into all the things on diabetes, but you know what one of the big things is, you got to reduce your what?
Sugar.
Right? It has a lot to do with sugar. So I don't know if it's true or not. I saw a list the other day of like the top 10 things my mom told me that weren't true. Like you eat gum, it stays in your stomach for 7 years, and if you cross your eyes, you're going to stay that way. Okay, well, another one of those things that I don't know if it's true or if it's a false like that, but that if you eat too much candy as a kid, you'll get diabetes. We still use that one on our kids, right? You don't eat that much sugar, you know. And we don't say what it's going to lead to, but we just, in our minds, we're thinking because we don't want it to lead to worse things in your life. Okay. Limit sugar and salt. Avoid fried foods high in saturated and trans fats. Okay, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on trans fats in a minute. Number four. Are you guys with me? I know it's really exciting, but we got to plug on. Because I want to be healthy. Do you guys want to be healthy? It feels better. Eating right is good for your health because it's good for your heart health. Okay, it's good for prevention of strokes, things like that. If you remember, the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, if he can get you to eat wrong your whole life or get you to eat the stuff that's going to clog up your arteries, he'll try to do that. That's a pretty simple way for him to take you out, right? Incapacitate you. According to some figures I read, 2017 and 2017, 3 years ago, they're saying as many as 92.1 million people in the U.S. have at least one type of cardiovascular disease. Okay, it has a lot to do with the heart or blood vessels. That means about one in every three people. It's 28.1%. That's a lot of people dealing with that. But listen to this. According to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, up to 80% of cases of premature heart disease and stroke can be prevented by making lifestyle changes, such as increasing levels of physical activity and eating healthy. 80% of those didn't have to happen, is what they're saying. The medical community has a long time now been recognizing the link between trans fats and heart-related illness, such as coronary disease and some of those. What are trans fats? Anybody know a good term for it? What is it? You're all right. Okay, we're on the right track. So what are trans fats and why are they bad for you? According to heart.org on their website, it gives this definition. Artificial, there's the key word, artificial trans fats or trans fatty acids are created in an industrial process that adds hydrogen to liquid vegetable oils to make them more solid. It's Crisco, among other things. Now listen to this. The primary dietary source for trans fats in processed foods is called partially hydrogenated oil. That's what you're looking for on a label. That was one of the first things my pastor told me about, was partially hydrogenated oil. That and like white sugar and some of those things and the toxins involved in that. Trans fat or hydrogenated oil is the worst kind of fat found in food. It has no good properties. This is right off their website. It has no good properties, and it's known for increasing your bad cholesterol while reducing your good cholesterol levels. Okay, that can lead to an increased risk, heart disease, stroke, as well as high blood pressure, obesity, and those things also increase your risk for heart disease and other conditions. Recent studies also point out that there may be a link between trans fats, and now they're saying linking it with Alzheimer's disease, some forms of cancer, such as breast cancer and prostate cancer, which I looked them up. Those are two that are in the top five most common kinds of cancer. Hydrogenated oil. It's bad stuff. Here's a short list. Okay, of some of the, I'm going to try to wrap this up. So here's a short list of some of the foods that contain large quantities of trans fats. Okay, here's where it gets personal. Believe me, I got several on this list here. Yeah, cakes and cake mixes were on the list. But here's the deal. You just got to look. Okay, because there are, and I learned this. There's two different kinds of trans fats. One of them is made in a factory, and that's what this bad stuff we're talking about, hydrogenated oil. The other is made, I'm going to say, by God, because it's in meat, it's in butter, it's in dairy products, it's in certain foods, just in a very small amount. Okay, and so there had to have been some purpose in having that in there, but it's when you get into the a gram and a half or 10 grams or whatever that you start getting too much of this stuff into your body. Okay, here's a short list. Consider eating some of these only on special occasions, or better yet, just cut them out altogether if you can. Okay, French fries were on the list, and that is because of fast food restaurants. Okay, you want to make your own at home, you could probably do it fairly healthily. Okay, you don't even have to fry them. We do French fries all the time. We call them oven fries. Cut them up, throw them in the oven. They taste great. Okay, hydrogenated oils are used to fry a lot of things, like fried chicken. Okay, some of the fried chicken places you eat, I don't know what Chester's uses. I hope they're okay, because my kid eats a lot of fried chicken from there. Chicken nuggets in particular, those kind of foods that are processed, okay, often have very high, they just said they're known for containing lots of trans fats. Anything fried for that matter. Fried foods often will have hydrogenated oil. You know what happens when you heat up oil? Even like regular oils, not olive oil. What's the other kind?
Canola, vegetable,
peanut. Yeah, just vegetable oil, I guess. But when you heat that stuff up, it gets to a certain point, it can become very toxic. Okay, and so even they're saying regular oils, and we use a lot of olive oil, but even that can have negative side effects. So best to cut out a lot of the fried foods. But when it comes to hydrogenated oil, if you're desensitized to it, if you eat at McDonald's once or twice a week or those kind of things, or places that use that in their foods a lot, you'll be desensitized to it and you may not notice the effects. But you'll be more spacey. Okay, you might even have kind of a sluggish feeling. I can instantly tell, because I've been cleaned out of hydrogenated oil long enough, that if I eat something that's got hydrogenated oil in it, I get all spacy, and then I get a headache within 10 minutes. And I can just turn and say, there was hydrogenated oil in that food we just ate. Because I can just feel it in my body, and you can get to that point. Margarine sticks. They said hydrogenated oil is used to help keep food its shape when at room temperature. Okay, and so that's what makes your stick of margarine stay a stick of margarine, is often hydrogenated oils. They have done something, added hydrogen to kind of get it so that it's more solid. Okay, and they say even regular butter has some form of trans fat in it, but it's nowhere near what some of the factory-made butters are. Somebody mentioned Crisco. Okay, Crisco was on the list. It says, if you look on it, it says zero trans fats. And they get away with that because if it has a half a gram or less, they are able to list it as trans fat free. Does not mean, although if you look at it, may say trans fat free, and then you turn around and look at the back label, one of them will be partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. So it still has that hydrogenated oil in it, but just a low enough amount that they were able to say that it was trans fat free. We buy stuff all the time because it says that, but it's not always accurate. You need to turn it around and look at the label on the back. Pies made the list. Said store-bought pies often have hydrogenated oil in them. Make your own bakery goods. That's what it says, or get them from Emily. She makes pretty good stuff. Pam does too. Cake mixes and frostings. Even if you can find a trans fat free cake mix, it might not be able to do the same thing with the frosting, because the frosting is pretty hard to find. Better off to make your own amount. They listen, this one got personal for me, but pancake and waffle mix. Okay, I like pancakes and waffles. Most commercial brands have hydrogenated oils or straight up trans fats in their recipes, so you have to watch that. I'll get this one. I got somebody back there, this one will hit pretty close to home. Microwave popcorn. Okay, popcorn by itself is fine. It's the things that you put on them that you have to worry about. It's the butter flavor.
Oh, yes.
Caramel flavor, extra butter. The website I was looking at said they have so much trans fats that they can reach 15 grams per bag. Okay, so, and we found some Orville Redenbacher's organic, whatever, that says it doesn't have all that stuff in it. Seems to be okay. I still don't eat a lot of it. We make our own. We have an air popper. Okay, that's much better. A little butter on there, salt, and you're good to go. Okay, but those bags of popcorn can have a lot of this hydrogenated oil in it. The old ones, what was that? Movie Time popcorn? You ever remember those? You get them in the vending machines. Even I stayed in hotels a lot, and you know, the vending machines sometimes have little packets of microwave Movie Time popcorn or whatever. Those are loaded. I remember one time we got stranded in Laramie, and I ate a handful of that. Instantly could tell I shouldn't have done that. So, okay, I'm going to move on here. Breakfast sandwiches, creamers. They say stick to the dairy kinds of creamers if you can, because some of the other ones are chemically made. They got a lot of hydrogenated oil in it. Frozen dinners. When it comes to foods high in trans fat, frozen dinners take the cake. That's what it said. Practically all frozen meals have trans fats. Frozen and creamy beverages, beware of frappuccinos, milkshakes, some other things that use artificial flavoring. They are swimming in trans fats. Soft serve ice cream beverages can have as much as 9 grams of trans fat in one serving. Meat sticks, I like those good old fashioned meat sticks. They can have a lot of it in there. They kind of hit me again with canned chili. They said it can have between 1.5 and 1.5. You're better off to make your own chili, which Margie just did last night. So thank you, Margie, for helping keep me healthy. Pudding desserts, some of that stuff. I guess you get the point. Trans fats are bad. Yeah. Try to avoid that if you can. Okay, that's number 4. I got 10. How much time you got? No, these will go quick. Another good reason to eat healthy is for the next generation. Children learn health-based behaviors by watching what happens with the adults around them. Okay, parents who model healthy eating and exercise habits tend to pass that on. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, that's very, very true. They're learning from us all the time on what happens. Okay, eating at home is said to help. Research found children who regularly had meals with their families ate more vegetables and fewer sugary foods than their peers who ate at home less frequently. Eating out, what's the first thing you do? Soda. Okay. They also say children who participate in gardening and cooking at home may be more likely to make healthy dietary and lifestyle choices. Okay, they learn how to eat right. Number 6 is strong bones and teeth. That's why we eat right. Again, a diet with our children learn from their parents, but a diet with adequate calcium, magnesium, those are necessary for strong bones and teeth. Helps prevent osteoporosis and osteoarthritis later in life when you get the right kind of stuff early on. Okay, following foods, it said low-fat dairy products, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, canned fish, legumes, those kind of things are really high in those kind of things. Number seven, you eat healthy for a better mood. Statistics have now come out saying that a close relationship between diet and mood. Okay, you've heard of being hangry, right? You're hungry and makes you a little cranky. Okay, well, if that's when you don't get food, but when you eat the wrong stuff, it can affect your mood as well. Okay, 2016 research study found that a diet with high glycemic load may cause increased symptoms of depression and fatigue. Foods with a high glycemic load would be like high sugar beverages, candy, sweetened fruit juices, couscous, white rice, white pasta, and low-fiber cereals that are high in added sugar. I think I told the story about our house. We couldn't get high-sugar cereals, you know, Fruity Pebbles or any of those kind of things. So we'd get Wheaties and just pour the sugar on top. I'm sure it was way better, healthy. But anyway, it makes it sound like, from what I was studying, that high sugar is hard on your emotions. Okay, so keep that in mind. Number eight, we eat healthy for improved memory. Okay, a healthy diet has been shown to prevent dementia and cognitive decline. Okay, that's one of the reasons why I take some omega-3 fatty acids and those kind of things, but it has been shown that vitamin D, C, and E, omega-3 fatty acids, flavonoids, polyphenols, and fish, okay, which is where a lot of those fatty acids come from, the good ones, that is good for your memory. Number nine is good for your gut health. Okay, your colon is full of naturally occurring bacteria, which plays an important role in metabolism. Okay, if you're feeling sluggish, digestion, those kind of things. Fiber is what's recommended to help with your gut. If you don't have, you can look up and see what your own fiber foods are, what's good for you. Fiber promotes regular bowel movements, which can help prevent diverticulitis, cancer, and other things that go on with your stomach, intestinal struggles and problems. I was told at one point early on that if you're eating right, you will go at least one time a day. And if you're really eating right, you'll go three times a day. I'll just leave that one there. And last but not least, if you're eating healthy, it is better for getting a good night's sleep. And obviously, just talked about caffeine, alcohol, some other things that are have some stimulant to them. Alcohol depresses after it stimulates. It's both, but those kind of things that it is proven that if you do not do that right before going to bed or drink your coffee later in the day or those kind of things, that you do get better sleep at night. Okay, that's something I'm working on myself. So to wrap things up, here's our summary. There's plenty of little things you can do, small things that can make a positive difference in your diet. Things like swapping out a soft drink with water, okay? Swapping out coffee for herbal tea. When we go out to eat at a restaurant, very rare occasion when I get a soda, but I'm totally into water with lemon, okay? Always make that waitress go get me a lemon. I gotta have my lemon with it. And that it's just easy enough to do that. Saves you $3 too, so. Eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, obviously. You can actually reduce the size of the main course when you use other foods on the plate to help you get full. You ever do this? You cook a big steak dinner and you got steak and baked potato and green beans and corn on the cob and a salad and then fruit for dessert. I'm going to start with the steak while it's hot and start eating on that, get my potato done, a few of the beans, and pretty soon I'm getting full and I didn't get to the fruit and the salad yet. Okay, but if I cut that steak in half and eat my steak, then I can go around and still get some of that good stuff in and be plenty full. Okay, because what I do, I'm a clean plate club guy, okay, so my plate's going to be clean, and I'm going to be stuffed and waddle away from the table and then be miserable for 2 or 3 hours after a meal like that. But if you learn to just cut your portion down, cut that big one, the main course down, and eat more of the other side stuff. They say your produce should make up about half your plate for every meal. Eat your whole fruits instead of drinking juices. Get more fiber, less sugar that way. Avoiding processed meats and other foods which are high in salt and, of course, may contain that hydrogenated oil that we're all going to look for on labels now. If you think about it, this is a closing statement. If you think about it, what was one of the first directions that God ever gave to mankind? Don't eat that apple. That's right. Don't eat that fruit. Did somebody get it correct?
Oh my.
The very first answer was be fruitful and multiply. Which we're all pretty good at that. Look at our world today. I think we figured that one out. But the second thing that he said was there's certain foods to eat and certain foods not to eat. And Adam and Eve ate of the wrong fruit and it caused a lot of problems. Okay, and that's what we're learning from that is, you know what, there's things that we just want to cut out. A whole lot of the Old Testament laws were dietary guidelines. And there was reasons for that. This is a law, I don't eat this because of this. But there are times where I don't eat this because God said it wasn't good for you. Okay, or it was unhealthy or it had some kind of a negative side effect, some of those things. So that's something to keep in mind. Eat the good stuff and it helps you to live out life. What we're aiming for is to live long and prosper, live a good life. We've gone through stuff. Everybody in here has had been sick at some point in life or gone through things, and we're just trying to do the best that we can and live out our life and to be healthy in our body, soul, and spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father God, we praise you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thanks for just helping us to learn, Father. I know some of these aren't easy for us to take, Father, but when we get it into our heart and our mind, Lord, and let it affect our body, Lord, it's going to be good, and it's going to turn out right because you put these things into our heart, Lord, and help us to do the right thing at the right time. And Father, we're praising you. Thank you for health in our bodies tonight, that anyone in this room with health needs, that has a healing need in your body, let tonight be your night to receive what Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died and rose from the dead, shed his own blood, poured it out for you to be healed. And so we thank you for that, Father. We take that, receive it into our bodies and allow you to touch us, Lord, right here, right now, and we give you the praise for it. Thank you for this night, Lord. Thanks for fellowship. Thanks for the body of Christ growing in faith towards you. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We're happy.
Oh, yes.